listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we answer your questions from a Bible-believing, God-trusting, Pauline perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
Every week, millions of adults suffer from the same terrible condition, Bible ignorance. Experts say most adults can't name the first book of the Bible. Do you think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, Paul was one of the 12 apostles, or that the red letters are the most important? If you have any of these symptoms, act now. Get help by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com. You're not alone. Bible ignorance can be cured. Help stop the ignorance by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com.
Watching Stephen Curry will not make you a basketball player. Neither will sitting in church make you a Christian. So what makes a Christian? It starts with, we're all sinners. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need Christ. But the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life freely. Trust that Christ did everything necessary to save you, then you will be a Christian.
Learn more about real Christianity and the clear gospel by visiting our website, GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com. That's GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com.
Curry steps back. It's good!
Last week on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we learned how the teachings of Pentecostalism infiltrates nearly every branch of Christianity, and how the charismatic movement comprises the fastest growing segments of both Protestantism and Catholicism worldwide. Because of the influence of these movements, much confusion exists in churches everywhere about the Holy Ghost, who He is, and how He works today. We also listened to the first half of Pastor Justin Johnson's introductory lesson in a series called How the Holy Ghost Works. Let's listen now to the second half of this introductory lesson.
Some of you have asked me about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our Bible study, in everything that we do. What role does He play? And so we're going to do a series about how the Holy Ghost works. It is a very important issue, especially for those of us who are under the dispensation of grace. I mentioned this morning that there is a major difference between the way we live our lives now under grace versus the way they lived their lives under the law. And quite frankly, it was a lot easier to understand under the law because God just lists out the things that you do and you just have to do them. Under grace, you're not under the law. You're supposed to walk in the Spirit. But what does that mean? And so it's a very important thing for your life, and that is one of the major reasons why this is an important issue, not the least of which is that there's major confusion in Christianity about the Holy Ghost. And so we need to get that right. One of the confusions about the Holy Ghost is, what on earth do we call Him? Because there's different names given to Him. There's the Spirit, there's Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or is it Father, Son, and Spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the Holy Ghost? Can we just call Him Ghost? I mean, what is His name? Jesus called Him the Comforter. In the Bible, you also see names given to Him like the Spirit of Truth or the Spirit of Grace in Hebrews chapter 10. So what do you call Him? Is it the same thing? Is it the same person? Is it even a person at all? Maybe it's just an impersonal force, like a superpower God gives you. So there's Jesus and there's like His holy power ghost, you know, and this is like some jump start that you get. Believe it or not, a lot of Christians have that sort of concept of the Holy Spirit, that He's like juice for the Christian. He's like your energy. But it's not that. He is God. What makes it worse, of course, is that our songs don't help. We sang a song this morning, and our grace hymnal tries to focus on correcting the words in song so that they teach right doctrine instead of promoting error. But a lot of songs that people sing in churches really teach wrong doctrine about the Holy Spirit. Anybody heard the song? It talks about, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. What are they talking about in that verse? The Holy Spirit raining down and feeling the Holy Spirit's presence here. And is the Holy Spirit here this morning? And our church is about the Holy Spirit's presence. And can you feel the Spirit this morning? Can I get an amen? No? Let's pray the Holy Spirit come down. You ever heard that language? Let's pray He come down to our meeting. Lord, please come down and inhabit this house so that we can experience and feel Your presence here. Right? This is what Christians talk about. Is it right or wrong? How do you know you have the Spirit? a lot of Christians, because of the songs they sing, because of the doctrines they're wrongly taught, question whether or not the Holy Spirit is with them. And that's a very, very sad thing. Romans 8, verse 9 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not Christ's. And that sounds very strict, but it's true according to what the Bible says. What is the Holy Spirit doing? Well, God's not your babysitter. The Holy Spirit's not your scapegoat. He's not your excuse. He's not your puppet master. What is he? What's going on? How do we feel him? Say, why is this even important? I mean, can't we just trust Christ? I mean, isn't Christ all there is? I mean, can't we just believe the gospel of Christ? And of course, Christ is the preeminent in all things. He is the head of the body. He's the Savior. He's the Lord of all. He's exalted above everything. But this is an important topic because I'm going to channel Stevie Wonder here. You're saved, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? No? Holy Spirit moving this morning? I was anointed to say that. I got the unction. Wrote it down in my outline. Ephesians 1:13. It's true, though. You are saved, you're sealed, and you're delivered. This is, by the way, not a new thing. It's a bad preacher joke is what that is. Ephesians 1:13 says that after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13 tells you the order of events that happen in your salvation. It says that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So faith comes by hearing. Your salvation, you have to hear something to be saved. You can't just look at someone's life. You got to hear the gospel. And then it says you trust, in whom you also trusted after you believed. So you hear, you trust, you believe, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now Romans 8:9 says you have the Spirit, you're Christ's. So we'll study more about this next week and how you receive the Holy Spirit. But it says you hear the gospel, you believe it, you receive the Spirit. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:1 says that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You don't know, maybe you do know, the number of people who correct this verse in your Bible. Correct, I put in quotes, because I don't think it needs to be corrected at all. I believe every word of your Bible, but they'll say that's a mistake. It shouldn't say, who walk not after the flesh, after the Spirit. It should just say, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ. That's not what the verse says. The verse says there's no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because I know a lot of people who are saved who face self-condemnation. So what's that say to them if it says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ? Maybe I'm not a Christian. The verse says, to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But you see how important this doctrine is about the Holy Ghost and how he works. Because if you're facing condemnation, you need to learn how to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. It's important that we talk about what he's doing and what you're supposed to respond to him with. Romans 8, verse 9, we've read twice now already. It says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Well, that's significant, folks. Apparently, you're not saved unless you have the Spirit of God. Unless you have the Holy Ghost, you are not saved. So this is a significant teaching in Christianity. This is one thing that separates you from the rest of the religionists out there. You've got to have the Spirit of God. Christ died for your sins. When you believe the gospel of your salvation, he died and rose again. You are sealed with the Spirit. If you don't have that Spirit, you're not a Christian. How do I know? How do we know? What is he doing? Romans 8, verse 26. There's a lot of verses in Romans 8 that talk about the Spirit. Romans 8, 26 says, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Anybody want that? We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Are your prayers getting answered every time? But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit intercedes for you. That seems kind of important, don't you think? Prayer seems kind of important, don't you think? Your infirmities seems like they take up a lot of your life, don't they? Right? It's important to understand who the Spirit is, what's he doing, what's his role in our life. All right? He teaches you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Some people think as grace believers, we reject everything there is to know about the Spirit and say, well, you know, God doesn't talk to you, he doesn't teach you, he doesn't intervene at all. Just read your Bible. You know, well, practically, that's very helpful to read your Bible. It really is. But there's a reality here. You know, we don't worship words on a page. We worship the Word. The Holy Spirit is God, okay, dwelling in you. So these aren't just, again, just words. This isn't just a philosophy. This is the truth and reality describing what's going on in you. 1 Corinthians 2 in verse 10 says, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And he's talking here about the mystery. In verse 7, the hidden wisdom of God, the mystery. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Anybody want access to the deep things of God? Seems kind of important. We know what the Spirit's doing. How do we use him? Or does that sound dirty of me to say? Using God? Yeah. Yeah, that seems kind of bad. But that's what Christians try to do. Right? But here it says the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God, searches the deep things of God. And it says in verse 11, what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man. Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Apparently, you can't know unless you have the spirit. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Apparently, the Holy Ghost teaches you. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. You see how important in this chapter the Holy Spirit is for your understanding? And you say, yeah, why is that? Are you turning Pentecostal with me? No, I'm not turning Pentecostal. I'm telling you the Holy Spirit has probably been operating in your life already. You've just been so confused, perhaps you don't understand it. God works through, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but God works in your life through His Word, His Spirit, His church, and we've seen changes, you've seen changes in your life because of that. Maybe you just haven't acknowledged it, maybe you haven't understood it, maybe there's things you still need to learn. That's great. That's why we meet together. But the Holy Spirit is an important part of your life as a Christian. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. You're supposed to walk after the Spirit. Remember, this is just introduction, so hopefully I'm raising questions and you say, well, give me the answer. Well, this is coming, weeks to come. Okay? This is introduction. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Anybody struggle with their flesh? Wow, I wish that verse could work. That's how bad did I say that? Doesn't God's word, shouldn't God's word work? But he says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, we should know how that works. Galatians 5:18, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Every time I read that, I kind of tilt my head because I've got this bias in my culture about what the Holy Spirit means and what leading of the Holy Spirit is used as by Christians and the way they use it so much that when I read this verse, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. I think, how do those two things even, they're unrelated to each other. If you're led of the Spirit, not under the law, what? Shouldn't it say something like if you're led of the Spirit, you'll do something that God wants you to do? But it says if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense to me in my cultural Christianity that I should discard. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, I don't even know if I have the Spirit, you know. I can't feel Him. Calm down, Holy Spirit, you know. Get back to square one. If we live in the Spirit, we should walk in the Spirit. It's important that we know how to do that. Ephesians 5, verse 16, Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If Christians do not know the will of the Lord, they are unwise. And I say that with a heart not wanting them to stay that way. I want them to know God's will. But Ephesians 5:17 says, if you don't know God's will, you're unwise. That's because God's will is known. You can know it. It has been revealed. It's not unknowable. But verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Another one of those strange type of comparisons. So the Holy Spirit's like drinking? Charismatics take that verse and that's what they do. They say, well, the Holy Spirit's like drinking, so I'm going to act drunk. And you've seen the drunken in the Holy Spirit? They get it from this verse, folks. Be not drunk with wine. I didn't drink any wine, but I'm drunk anyway. I didn't drink anything. Well, this is be filled with the Spirit instead of drink. Well, we'll say what that means. But Paul says be filled with the Spirit. If you're not being filled with the Spirit, if you are not endeavoring to be filled with the Spirit, you're disobeying God. I sound charismatic this morning, don't I? Talk a lot about the Holy Ghost. But it's what Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Well, how do I do that? How do I fill myself with the Spirit? I mean, after all, Pentecost, they thought they were drunk, right? Maybe there's something to drinking in spirit. Well, we'll get to that and talk about being filled with the Spirit. And, of course, Romans 14:17, the verse we read at the beginning of the outline, the beginning of the lesson, is that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy. Anybody want righteousness, peace, and joy? Anybody want to be living in God's kingdom? It says it's in the Holy Ghost. Apparently that's crucial for your life of peace and joy and righteousness. Look at Philippians chapter 3. The Holy Ghost is crucial. Maybe we don't talk about Him enough. Maybe some people talk about Him too much. Maybe a lot of people got Him wrong. I think that's the truth. And I think it'll help us to rightly divide the Scriptures to know what God's doing, especially when we're talking about God, the Holy Spirit.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll hear the conclusion of Pastor Justin Johnson's lesson. You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio.
Here on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we teach the Bible from two very unique and important perspectives, Bible belief and mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division. We believe the Bible is the perfectly inspired, complete, and preserved Word of God. And since God is true, and we believe everything He has to say to us is written in the Bible, we approach the Bible from a position of faith, not doubt. That is, if there's ever a question about what the Bible says, we start with the premise that the Bible is always right and we are wrong. If anything needs changed, it's us, not the Bible. This makes God and His Word our final authority and sole source of spiritual truth. We take the Bible literally. Most people approach the Bible by trying to discover some hidden meaning, or by exchanging the plain reading of the text for something less obvious, or by redefining the words to prove their point. At Grace Ambassadors Radio, we believe God says what He means, and the words on the page mean what they say. We also teach mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division. That's a mouthful, but each one of those labels conveys a specific aspect of how we understand the Bible. Right division is the idea that we must discern which parts of the Bible are for us today. That's not to say that we discard or ignore any part of God's Word. We believe the entire Bible was written for our learning, but not all the Bible was written for our direct participation. All Scripture is for us to have and to know, but not all Scripture is for us to perform today. Right division seeks to identify these different parts of Scripture. Dispensational describes how we make those right divisions in the Bible. Over the course of history, God spoke to different people at different times in different ways. But being dispensational means we also know that God gave different instructions to different people for different purposes. To understand the Bible dispensationally, we examine the context of each passage. We identify who is speaking, what is being said, to whom is it being spoken, when, why, and whether or not we fit into that audience today. Being Pauline means we recognize that as God progressively revealed His Word over time, Jesus Christ lastly appeared to the Apostle Paul, gave him a different message to preach, and made him the pattern for believers today to follow. It is in Paul's epistles alone that we find the gospel of salvation today, the unique information about this current dispensation of grace, and the operating instructions for the church, the body of Christ. The term mid-Acts refers to where in the Scripture the church, the body of Christ, began. We believe it began in the middle of the book of Acts when Paul was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Others think the church began in Acts 2, Acts 28, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or that there's only one church at all times in the Bible. Where a person thinks the church began will greatly impact how they think the church should operate. God wrote the Bible to be understood, and here on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we want to help you understand it. By believing your Bible as your final authority, reading the words literally, and considering each passage in its dispensational context, you too can understand the Bible for yourself. To learn more, visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com.
Today on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we're listening to the introductory lesson in an 8-part series entitled, How the Holy Ghost Works. Be sure to stay tuned after this next segment because we're going to tell you how you can access the remaining lessons of this important series. But in the meantime, let's continue listening as Pastor Justin Johnson teaches about the Holy Ghost and how He works today.
Some people object and say, well, we shouldn't talk about the Holy Ghost at all. It just encourages them. It encourages the Pentecostals and Charismatics. It encourages those who would replace the Bible with their feelings and their experiences. Well, they say, I thought it was all about Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul doesn't say, I count them all but loss for the knowledge of the Holy Ghost. True. He doesn't. This is for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus my Lord. Christ is all in all, as Paul says. Christ is the head. He is the preeminent. He is the Savior and the Lord above all things. Every time we'll confess the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe this is why the Holy Ghost remains nameless. Is that the name of Jesus Christ is what matters. Christ is all in all. Philippians 3, 7 through 8 tells us that your life is Christ. Philippians 1:20. But remember, The Spirit testifies of Christ. The Spirit is the operation of what Christ is doing on the earth. In John 15, verse 26, I'm going back here before Paul to tell you what Jesus Christ said to his disciples about sending the Spirit. Now, he's not here talking about the mystery, but he's simply describing the Spirit's role, the Spirit's function in this operation of God. In John 15, verse 26, when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, what's it say that he will do? The Comforter will testify of me. The Holy Ghost does not speak about himself. The Holy Ghost speaks about Christ. The only reason why I have a series about how the Holy Ghost works is that people have rejected what the Holy Ghost has testified about Christ. And they think it's all about the Holy Ghost. It's not. Jesus says he'll testify of me. This also should help you that rightly divide. Look at John 16:13. John 16:13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. I'm anointed with the Holy Ghost. I got a message for you this morning. It's about the Holy Ghost. I question this. John 16:13 says he'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Whatsoever he shall hear, that he'll speak. So the Holy Spirit was going to be sent down and was going to fill these people at Pentecost. Paul says we have the Holy Spirit as well. And what's the Holy Spirit supposed to be doing? Speaking and testifying of Christ. Now, when Peter testified of Christ, how did he testify Christ? According to prophecy. How does Paul testify Christ? How was Christ revealed to him? According to mystery. You see? So the Holy Spirit today is testifying Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. The chief chapter where Paul talks about the mystery and the mystery of Christ. He says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, whereby, verse 4, when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. Verse 5 says, in other ages was not made known. Ages is a time word. It was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, by who? The Spirit. The Spirit revealed the mystery of Christ to Paul. At least in part. Yeah, Jesus appeared to him too. He had visions of Christ and Jesus appeared to him. But the Spirit also gave Paul prophetic utterance and gave him revelation of the mystery. By the Spirit is what Paul says. How's the Holy Ghost work? Well, we need to rightly divide the Scriptures, because if we don't, we're going to mess it up. Just like when we talk about what is Christ doing today or what is God doing today. If we don't rightly divide the Scriptures, we're going to mess that up. And maybe Christ is doing the same thing he did with Israel. Maybe Christ is doing the same thing he did in the Old Testament, God with Israel. Or maybe God has changed what he's doing. He's operating according to the mystery. And so when we talk about the Holy Ghost, it's the same thing. The Holy Ghost testifies of Christ. When Christ wants to reveal himself according to the mystery, the Holy Ghost will teach Christ according to the mystery. This is why I've said to you before, I've never heard a Pentecostal charismatic who preaches the mystery of Christ. Because if they preach the mystery of Christ, they wouldn't be Pentecostal charismatic anymore. They'd be mid-Acts. So I've just never heard that. Never heard someone say our patterns at Pentecost with tongues. But actually, the mystery was revealed to Paul 8 chapters later. This is the source of confusion, though. We've talked about it in the past, about how people get confused about when the church began. And a lot of people take the position that the church began when the Spirit was poured out. Right? So this is part of the confusion as well. And it's because of verses like this, where they see something happening where the Spirit gets poured out, and then, you know, truth gets revealed. So it must have been at Pentecost when the church began. Or when something new began, something new started. And we've dealt with that question before, but see, this is all surrounding the operation of the Holy Spirit. The answer to that, of course, is that it's the same Spirit, different ministry. Right? Do you preach Jesus Christ, or do you reject him altogether because he taught the red letters? No, we preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So it's not that we reject Jesus. It's just we preach Jesus according to the mystery he revealed about himself, not according to the prophecy that was revealed about him. You see? In the same way, the Holy Spirit operates today, same Spirit, same Holy Spirit, according to a different ministry. This is not unheard of in the Scripture. And so when people think that every time the Spirit shows up, he must be doing the same thing, like some sort of divine lever, you know, machine, that's just not accurate. All right, let's say our prayer and we'll wrap it up. Lord, we thank you so much for your word that you have revealed to us, that we can know how you're working, who the Holy Ghost is, and how we're to walk in the Spirit. I pray that as we study this issue out, that we can clear up confusions, that we can better understand what you're doing in our lives, that we can live lives more powerful in the sense that we can do what you have us sent here to do, and so that we can fulfill your will on earth. And we thank you for that opportunity and that privilege as your ambassadors. Amen.
You just heard the conclusion of the introductory lesson to an 8-part teaching series entitled How the Holy Ghost Works. The remaining lessons in this series provide detailed explanations about how to receive the Holy Spirit, how the Spirit moves, how the Spirit speaks, how the Spirit leads, how to be filled with the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit. If any of these topics would be helpful for you, then we would be happy to send you a copy of those lessons at absolutely no cost to you. Simply go to our website, graceambassadorsradio.com, and tell us in the contact form there that you would like to receive your free copy of the Holy Ghost series that you heard about on this radio broadcast. Or if you would prefer, you can give us a phone call at 528-828-1177 and let us know that you would like to receive the free lessons. Again, that number is 528-828-1177. If you would rather write us a letter, you can address your request to Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986. You can listen to this episode and all previous broadcasts of Grace Ambassadors Radio on our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. And while you're there, don't forget to send us your comments and questions about the Bible so that we can get those answered for you on the air.
You grew up in a Catholic church, but stopped when it started to interfere with the ballgame. When you got married, you started going to the Baptist church down the road because you needed a pastor to perform the ceremony. Now that you have children, you started going to a non-denominational church because they had a better basketball court. But now your wife attends a charismatic church, and you stay home listening to ESPN Radio. Maybe you've been there and done that with churches, hopping from one to the next. Maybe you've never settled down because church never really made sense to you, and you had doubts and questions that weren't ever answered by the pastor. Well, you've never been to Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We teach Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Rite Division. We don't pass a collection plate. We don't beg for money. We don't jump the pew. We don't spend all morning singing and waving our hands at the clouds. Instead, we give an entire hour each Sunday morning to address your questions about the Bible. We take God's Word and actually apply it to current events. And we don't shy away from talking about the controversies. This is what you'll find at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at 6281 South, 900 West, Swayze, Indiana. You're welcome to come out and study with us and get your questions answered at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. Or come out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock where we study the Bible verse by verse. Or listen to us online at graceambassadors.com. Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, the only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, a ministry of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.